Job chapter 26. Let's go ahead and pick it up where we left off last week. I want to pick up in verse 4. And we're going to kind of use that as a little bit of a jumping off place, a little bit of an introduction. And I'm going to cover verses 5 through 7 tonight. And that's going to be probably about all we'll get through. In verse number 4, he says, "To whom hast thou uttered words, and whose spirit came from thee?" Let's pray. Father, I love you, and I thank you so much for how good you've been to me, Lord, and for all your blessings on my life. And Lord, this is a pretty heavy subject matter we have here tonight, and I just ask you, Lord, to fill me with your Holy Spirit. The question we just read in the introduction is a great question. And Father, I desire with all my heart for the Spirit of God to come from me tonight. I mean, from now until the time that I leave here, till I get home, and God, may it not even leave then, may it stay with me throughout the night, throughout the day tomorrow. God, I desire for the right spirit to be in me. And Lord, that's a struggle, and you know more about it than we do, but we ask you to give us a little light on it tonight and help your people. I pray, God, like I prayed at dinner, I pray again that you'd help the effort people make to come out tonight to be worth their time. And we ask you to do that. If you don't do it, it's not going to be. So we ask you to do it. And we ask you that in a spiritual sense, make it worth their time in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, great question, verse number 4. He says, "Whose spirit came from thee?" Now I'm going to remind you of what I already said last week. There's one of three different spirits that can come from every human being at any given time. Obviously, there's the human spirit. That's your spirit. That has to do with your personality and just what your makeup, you know, who you are, your spirit. The second kind of spirit that can come from you, yes, even as a Christian, and I'm not going to spend a bunch of time proving this point, but there's a hotly debated topic about whether or not saved people can be demon-possessed. You want to see saved people crawl out of their skin. Why do you freak out so bad about it? A saved person can't be demon-possessed. Well, first of all, relax. Second of all, why does it get you so worked up if somebody says it's possible for a saved person to be demon-possessed? Got some issues you need settled? If you got some issues you need settled, I can point you to the right spirit that'll take care of all that stuff. You don't have to get worked up about it. So the nuance is this: well, a Christian can't be possessed, but they can be oppressed. Well, either way, what difference is it? It just makes you feel better in your psychology to say I'm oppressed by the devil, and therefore the decisions that I'm making and the destruction in my life is coming from an oppression, as opposed to the scary thought of a possession. But either way, your spirit is the Lord's. Your soul is the Lord's. So no matter what kind of sin dwells in your flesh, and let me tell you, there's some abominably wicked sins that dwell in the flesh of born-again people. Everything you see in the world, you can see in the church. So really, what is the difference? You're going to say they're possessed when they dabble in that sin because only a demon can mess a man's head up so bad to get him to do something like that. But when Christians do it, it was just oppression. You whitewashing chicken. I hate that stuff. And I'm not calling you that because nobody around here is necessary. Now, some of you might be a little troubled now and be like, "Hey, preacher, I need to talk to you. Talk to me." I'm not calling you a chicken. I'm talking about when people go to the ends of the world to try to wiggle out of that thing, and I've heard preachers do it. They're just panicking about it. What spirit came from you? Every time you spoke, every time somebody else spoke, it was either their human spirit or it was a devilish spirit. Do you remember when Jesus Christ turned around and addressed Peter? What did he say to him? "Get thee behind me," what? What spirit came from Peter when he said, "No, not you, Lord, don't go to the cross"? According to Jesus Christ himself, what spirit came from Peter? You know, the scary thing about those kind of spirits, like that woman over there in the book of Acts, she's following Paul around for days. And the Bible says she's telling them, she's saying, "These men show unto you the way of the Most High God, the way of salvation." And everything she's saying is 100% doctrinally true. And the Bible says that after Paul bore with her a long time, he got so wore out with her, he turned around and he said, "Come out of her and leave her alone." And it caused a big ruckus because the spirit she had in her was a spirit of divination. And her handlers, I got another word for it, but I'm being gentle because the kids are in here. Her handlers were making money off of the job she worked. And so they were super, super angry when Paul kicked the demon out of her. And the demon that was in her was walking around telling everybody, follow Paul, he's a great guy. They're teaching you all the right stuff. They're preaching to you the right way of salvation. Follow Paul, follow Paul, follow Paul. What a nutty passage, man. That is crazy stuff. Why? Because you'd expect a demon to show up and say, here, stick this needle in your arm and shoot this junk in your blood. Wouldn't you? You'd expect a demon to come up and tempt you with all kinds of wicked sin, but the greatest of them are walking around pretending like they're filled with the right spirit and pretending like they're back in the truth. That's scary. So there's a demonic spirit that can come from you, but there's a third spirit that can come from you. You know what that spirit is? The Spirit of God. And Job asks a great question to his quote-unquote counselors, to his friends. He asks them, whose spirit came from thee? Don't forget the scenario. It's very, very important. Listen, this book of Job, I was excited about getting into it. And I had no idea what I was getting into yet. I was excited about starting this study. I avoided this book for a long time. And then finally, when it came to a point in my personal walk with the Lord or whatever it was, something clicked. And it was like, Job is a go. And I started looking into it and studying this thing. I thought, man, this is going to be a riot. And I'm not going to rush through these last few chapters. So if you're bored with Job, I'm sorry. Please don't skip Wednesday nights till it's over. But it's going to be a little while. Because we're getting into some stuff now. You ask most Christians, what's your favorite book of the Bible? You know what you'll almost never hear them say? Job. Job is a book for somebody who thinks deeply about life and feels deeply about life. This is not a simple book. All his spiritual friends show up and surround him in the time of his pain. And they begin trying to influence him and lecture him when they're not qualified to lecture him whatsoever, not one iota. And I know that because of what God says at the end of the book. Be careful about who influences you. Be careful about who controls decisions you make. Be careful about who manipulates you, because the Spirit of God will tell you some things and God will lead you certain ways, and then people will get around you and try to control you and control your emotions and control your mind, and the wisest and best and snarkiest and nastiest of them will always make sure they present it like they're speaking the truth. You know what I can handle? I can handle professional fighters. They're a nasty bunch of dudes. I'm sorry. They don't bother me. A guy came into our gym with an outline of his skeleton tattooed. I mean, from the knuckles across, all the way up, man. All the way up. The bones in his hands, the wrist bones, all the little ones. Guys come in with tattoos on their face. They don't bother me a bit. You know what bothers me is some pious baby-faced people who walk around acting like they're all super spiritual and they're all sweet and they're passive-aggressive. And they're always wanting to quote Bible at everybody all the time. They're always there to just quote Bible and tell everybody else what's wrong with them and what's wrong in their life. And they're there to be everybody's spiritual counselor all the time, and they're not qualified to spiritually counsel you. But the problem is you'll be so easily deceived, because what they say will be have a little Bible in it. It'll be so touchy-feely. It'll be so warm. It'll be said the right way, but to bring you under conviction when maybe you're not even the one that needs to be under conviction, maybe they are. So here Job is, and he's in a big mess. Let me ask you a question. If I come up to you and I find out you went through something 10 years ago and it hurt you bad, and I begin to poke at what it was that hurt you 10 years ago, and I get you to start talking about it, and I get you to open up to me about it, whether you want to or not, I put the pressure on you and I get you to open up about it. It was something that hurt you. Am I the only one in the room that's got a couple of those? You can call me a baby all you want. Some of my stuff's pretty light compared to what other people go through, but some of the stuff I've been through means a little bit of something to me. All right, so if you've been there and somebody comes at you and starts scratching at your wound, and you start talking about it, but you kind of don't want to. You know, psychologists are real good at that.
They sit you down in the office, and what they're going to want to do, they're going to want to take you all the way back somewhere to your childhood where something happened to you that bothered you, and then they're going to get you to open up about it, and they're going to wear on you and wear on you and wear on you and assign you to come back and prescribe you to come back and prescribe you to come back. You've heard me say the other on psychology, right? You guys have heard me give the balance? You've heard me say some people might need it, right? And that there's some validity to some of it, haven't you? So now we can put the shoe on the other foot without offending people. There's a balance here, folks. In everything in life, there's a balance. You know what they'll do? They'll get you, they'll keep clawing at you and scratching at you until they find a pain point somewhere in your life and get you to open up on that pain point. What all of a sudden comes out of you? Pain. Why? Because we dug up something that hurt that may have even healed, but what did? We opened up an old wound. And you know what the cheap little punk will do? Well, there you are. You need this pill and that pill and the other pill because you're bitter. And you're troubled. And you're sick in the head. And you walk out of there going, I'm bitter and I'm troubled and I'm sick in the head and I must not be over it or I wouldn't have just spewed like that. And snap goes the trap and the devil's got you. And here you are all the way back where you used to be when God got you out of it and you were doing fine because somebody went and scratched at an old wound.
Brother, I know you've been saved for a while now, but didn't you used to be?
Yeah, I'm a real dog. Yeah, I did some really, really bad things. Yeah, I used to be a... And you walk out of church going, I used to be, woe is me. No wonder God doesn't use me. No wonder I don't have it as good as the other people have it because I'm useless and I'm no good for nothing. And it was all set up in this very spiritual, very manipulative, they're wanting to be your counselor and they're wanting to help you and they're wanting to get in your business just like they're doing to Job right here, and their tools of the devil to make his sorrow worse and to drive him deeper and farther away from God and to wind up getting him in trouble when he wouldn't have been in trouble. He was doing great at the beginning. Be careful about your influences. Now, I realize we all need friends. So I said last week I was concerned about my message being taken too far one way or the other. You understand that? Because I'm not trying to get you to be skeptical of everybody and push everybody away, but I'm trying to remind you that there's different spirits in every individual when they're speaking to you. Sometimes it's a benign, just a human spirit. Don't forget that's a sinful spirit. But it's just, they didn't really mean much by it. They're just a dumb human being, and they're just a sinner like you are, and it's all right, no big deal. Other times, it's a devilish spirit. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Birds of a feather flock together. Some of you kids in school, you know what you need to realize? You come in here, and by the grace of God, your pastor is trying to give you the words of God that came out of the mouth of God, which is the Spirit of God, and trying to do it in the right spirit, and praying up and asking God to fill me with the Spirit. And I'm not saying that I always am, but I'm trying to get an influence in your life. I'm be honest with you, I am trying to influence everybody in this room. And I want to influence you, not with the spirit of Mike Reagan. I want to influence you with the Spirit of God. But sometimes you'll see Mike Reagan. Don't worry. Just look close enough. You'll see chinks. Just stay around long enough. And here and there, it'll be me. But you go to school. You leave here tomorrow morning and you go to school. You adults, you leave here tomorrow and you go back to work. And you're going to run into some people that know you're a Christian and they got a different spirit in them. And what they're going to want to do is they're going to want to get you off track, and your safety, your power, is in knowing that there's different kinds of spirits and in asking God for the gift of the discerning of spirits and to recognize what spirit is speaking to you at that moment. Which spirit came from thee? Now, that's kind of my setup, but what I want to do is I want to run some Bible references with you, starting with verse number 5. And it's going to be a little bit of a dry study, but it's actually, I mean, it's not too dry. It's kind of interesting stuff, but I'll tell you this. Let me just say something real quick before we dive in here. I want to show you some stuff and run some references with you. And what we're going to give you is just some educational stuff regarding some pretty weird stuff that Job brings up. And I'm safe in doing this because we don't make hobby horses out of these kind of things. We're going verse by verse through Job, and here it is, right? Be careful about enjoying studies that I'm going to show you. And deciding you're going to go to sources other than the Word of God to study them out. I need to say that again. You shouldn't go to sources other than the Word of God to study out some of these things. Not even sources by some Bible believer somewhere who has a blog or a website where he has in-depth studies on demons and demonology and all the rest of that stuff, because you might be tuning into a wrong kind of spirit. Oh, but he's a Bible believer. I know, he's saying, I believe the Bible, and I'm going to show you the way of the Most High God, and you better be super, super careful about the snarkiest, nastiest, subtlest spirits that God, that the devil will use to drag you away from God and get in your mind and heart and get you off track on the things that really matter. When you get here, I try with everything in me to make practical application to your daily life to help you where the rubber meets the road in the real world. That's the power of the Bible. I don't always obsess with showing you all the doctrine that I know. If all I do is always get doctrine pumped into your brain but never give you anything that feeds your heart, feeds your soul, feeds your spirit, then I've failed as a pastor. So some of this stuff is just kind of a little more doctrinal, and yet it's somewhat important because it helps you in discerning what you're dealing with. One of the keys of being successful in battle or in a fight is knowing your enemy. So God gives you enough information just within the Bible itself, by the Spirit of God, by the right Spirit, so you can have enough education, just enough, to where you have some answers for some of the tough questions. For some of the deeper things of life. For some of the deeper emotional struggles and mental struggles. Have you ever just kind of gotten in a place where you don't know why you're kind of whacked out of the head a little bit? Okay, me and Jesse both know what I'm talking about. The rest of you, I'm sure you do too. You ever just wake up on the wrong side of the bed? And you can't really explain it, and you don't know why you're acting the fool, but you're acting the fool. You feel like you're under a tremendous amount of pressure. And when somebody tries to say, you know, let's put into words what's wrong with you, and you can't really put it into words. You know what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, I read that verse a lot, and it meant something to me. Until I began grappling with college wrestlers and Olympic wrestlers. I understand now that Ephesians chapter 6 means so much more than just, well, we wrestle against flesh and blood. There is literally no way to describe the feeling. You can't put into words how that feels unless you experience it. I just asked you if you ever just kind of get jacked up in the head and you can't explain it. And you're told to snap out of it and you can't snap out of it. Well, what's your problem? Well, you're just bitter. Well, you're just mean-spirited. Well, you're just backslidden. Maybe, 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 and then maybe not, Job's friends. Sometimes things are going on in another sphere, in another realm, that you can't see and I can't see, and a flippant Bible verse, just because you can memorize some Bible or you've been through Bible school or you can rightly divide or you got a blog or a podcast or a YouTube channel, doesn't make you educated enough to see into the third realm, to see into the supernatural of what's going on between God and the devil and principalities and powers and the Christian trying to serve God and the attack that comes, the wearing out of the saints that comes, the flood of enemies against the Christian who's trying to serve God, and you don't know that individual and you don't know their past and you don't know their present and you don't know what God might be wanting to do with them in their future. So there could be something spiritually going on. Well, not them. God doesn't stop and check with you or me before he uses people. And I guarantee you he doesn't, because if he did, I would say, I got a list. It's not too long, but there's a few guys over here. You just need to just back out of their life. Oh, I'm sorry. Was that too real? I'm just saying what the rest of you think. God, you need to stop blessing that guy. But God doesn't stop and check with me, nor does he care what I think. So I have to realize that God may have plans for somebody I know nothing of, even if I think nothing's going on in their life.
It's dangerous. There's a pressure that's on you and you're wrestling against something really weird, Job 26:5. Dead things are formed from under the waters and the inhabitants thereof. Wait, what? Now you read your devotions and you run right over that verse and you keep on yawning and refilling your coffee cup and stopping for a potty break and double checking the clock because you got to get to work. And you just read over something you need to stop for a second and consider. That can't be talking about humans. Because when you die, nothing forms, and it's not under the water, it's under the sod. Dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Nothing is formed when you die. Your flesh falls apart. But in verse number 5, Job seems to know something all the way back here, way back, first book ever written in the Bible, and he seems to know something about some supernatural realm, some things going on that most Bible-believing preachers nowadays, with all their education, can't even make sense out of that. He said, dead things are formed from under the waters. That's weird. So it's not things buried. So what's he talking about? Go to Psalm at chapter 82. You're in Job, go to your right, go to the book of Psalms, chapter number 82. Psalm chapter number 82. Watch this. This is a wild passage. Don't miss this stuff when you read your Bible. It says in Psalm chapter 82, verse number 1, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the what? Wait a minute. They're called the mighty, mighty men of old, men of renown. And God's standing in the congregation of them. And he judges among the gods with a small g. My kids and a bunch of your kids are in this classical school. So they spend a bunch of time teaching them all about the different gods. All right, so we'll give you guys some truth from God on it. We'll tell you who those gods are. You're going to find as you go through those classes in school that they'll be telling you all kinds of crazy stuff about these fertility gods and the way they cross with animals and all the rest of that stuff. And all that stuff was in this Bible long before them people ever dreamed any of that stuff up. They're actually worshiping something quite real. And God told you about it in this Bible long before any classical anything made and dreamed this stuff up and tells you what the ancient whatevers believed. Job predates them. And God lays it down in Psalms for you, predating them. And God judges among those gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked, Selah? So those aren't holy gods, are they? Defend the poor and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. You know what wicked men do with the poor and fatherless? You just said it exactly right. Did you hear what he said? He said they take advantage of them. They'll manipulate them. Yeah, that's a demon. God's heart goes out to the poor and fatherless. God Almighty's heart goes out to the widow who's defenseless. God Almighty cares about them. Evil men will prey on them. Verse 5, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Now that word foundations of the earth shows up. Interesting. We're going to begin showing you in science, in Job, that God says in Job, before mankind ever believed it, that he hung the earth upon nothing. But many will say that there's foundations of the earth and it's flat and originally it was hung on something or what they believed for many years, I think up to even around 1400, was that it was set on something or hung on something. And then they'll take verses like this and say, see, foundations of the earth, but in the context, it isn't talking about
the creation. It isn't talking about the actual planet. In the context, he's talking about gods and the foundation of them. Run that word foundations or foundation, and you'll find out a lot of times, not every time, it has to do with men or it has to do with something supernatural. They're out of course. I could show you so much. There's over there in Judges, the stars are out of course. The stars fought. I can show you in Daniel, there's a war going on in heaven while a man is on his knees talking to God. And why didn't God answer my prayer? And why didn't God answer my prayer? And why didn't God answer my prayer? I think it was 3 weeks he prayed. And then finally he gets through and says, hey man, I had a little stopper out there in outer space. A little something went on and I'm here to tell you what I'm supposed to tell you, and I got to go back and help finish the fight. Something was intercepting the answer to your prayer. Because there's something going on in the high places. We're going to get to this in Job. I'm just kicking some stuff out to you, and we'll prove it to you. We'll run the references. But there's stuff going on out there, and there's a battle going on while Daniel's on his knees praying. Boy, I got a lot I could say about that, but I don't have time. I have said in verse number 6, ye are gods. You see that? And all of you are children of the Most High. See the capital H? They were children of God because they were a direct creation of God Almighty. John chapter 1, I think it's verse 12, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. You weren't born a son of God, you were born a son of Adam, sinful, with a fallen nature. You became a son of God when you became a direct creation of God. Before that, you were a procreation. The day you became a direct creation of God is the day you were born again. And if you're not born again, you're going to split hell wide open, no matter how classy and cleaned up you think you are. You're going to split hell wide open because you got to be saved to go to heaven. You got to be a son of God. And you can't be a son of God until you're a direct creation of God. And the day you become a direct creation is the day he takes your dead spirit and quickens it by his Holy Spirit and moves in your heart and saves you. You hath he quickened who are dead. Dead things are formed from under the water. You are dead in trespasses and sins. So every time you hit the word dead in your Bible, it doesn't have to do with the flesh. Dead things can be spiritual. A live man walking around, alive in the body, alive in the flesh, with a dead spirit. Spiritually speaking. So just because you see the word dead doesn't mean you automatically go so far as to say that means it's physically dead. There's more than one kind of dead thing according to the Bible. He's talking about gods that are active, but they're dead in trespasses and sins. They're killed spiritually while they're immortal beings. You know why God didn't make you immortal? He ain't going to let you live forever in sinful flesh like that. They were immortal beings, direct creations of God, and they're dead spiritually while they're still operating. Come on, you watch your TV, don't you? Where do you think they get all this stuff from? Immortals that are dead, that are walking around? And why is that? It's always associated with immorality. Every one of those kind of shows and movies always has a bunch of filth in there that will appeal to your basest instinct. Besides your thrill of horror and your thrill of fear and the adrenaline you get from watching that garbage, it'll also appeal to another side of you where the devil can put more filth in your mind. Why is it they're always associated with that stuff? And they got to get blood from human beings, vampires, and zombies. Where's all that stuff coming from? Immortal dead things walking around attacking people and torturing people. You'd read your Bible a little more and you'll find out some of this stuff ain't a joke. Filling your kids' heads with some of that stuff might not be the wisest thing you could do. I've said ye are gods and all you are children of the Most High, but ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. All right, what you're going to find in your Bible, go over to Isaiah, please. Keep going to your right. Go to the book of Isaiah. We're going to get chapter 24. What you're going to find as you study your Bible is you're going to find out that not all of the angels are wandering around in outer space. Some of them are chained up. What happened? He said, I've said ye are gods, but ye shall die like men. Why? Because in Jude it explains they left their first estate. So a time came when the angels were looking, and they're moving around, they're watching people, and some of the angels recognized the women were beautiful, and they wanted to take them wives. So in order to do that, they had to come down and morph into humans. You think I'm crazy? This stuff is Bible. They had to take upon them the flesh of a human being. And he said, since you left your first estate, you're going to die like a man. When you die, you go to hell. When you die, you're reserved in chains. When you die, I got a special place for you that I'm going to put you and keep you there till the judgment, because I'm not letting you pull that move again. So it was a one-way ticket for them. So they came down and they took them, and then that's where gods and giants and all that start popping up in the Old Testament, and that's where you go into Greek mythology and they got the crossbreed of a man and a horse. God wiped out the animals at the flood. The animals too. Do you know what I'm driving at? I'm trying to be gentle about it. But the filthy, perverted sins had gone so far that everything was so contaminated by the filthiness and ungodly depravity. And then you get in classical school and they try to paint it all as being, you know, oh, look at this, interesting, and this is so great, and this is classical, and this God was the God of that, and the God of love, and the God of this, and the God of hell, the God of destruction, the God wanting to pervert your mind. Stuff fires me up, man. Can you tell the kids are back in school? Isaiah 24, look at verse 17. Fear in the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. And he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken into the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the fountains and foundations of the earth do shake. And the earth is utterly broken down, and the earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. Look at that. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage. And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. Now there's a lot I could say, but I'm not going to for the sake of time. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. Do you see how he made a distinction? The kings of the earth, that's as high as you get on this planet. And he said, I'm going to punish the host of the high ones that are on high. You wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know why everybody's so obsessed with outer space and getting outer space? You know why you don't come to the light? Because your deeds get reproved. I'll warn you about something. You come to a church like this where the Bible is preached and preached and preached and preached, and then you get bent out of shape and you leave, light rejected becomes lightning. But light accepted will lead you to more light. You know why everybody's obsessed with outer space? Because it's a place of darkness. And something is attracting and drawing them that way. On mainstream news now, there's more and more talk about UFOs and life in outer space and making connections to some kind of something out there, a higher being and a different being and an alien being. How is it that educated, wise, intelligent, cultured, modern men are talking so weird? Like, I mean, they come in here and sit here and hear me say angels came down and took upon them the form of human flesh so that they could marry women and had a one-way ticket the other way. They couldn't go back to the supernatural once they left their first estate, Jude. And they'd say, oh man, that's crazy. Did you hear that stupid stuff he's talking about? I mean, like superhero stuff. I mean, you just might as well go home and watch TV. But they're all into making connections to outer space. So you stinking hypocrite. You'll accept that, but you won't accept the Bible that's predating all this stuff and told you it was coming before you ever dreamed it up. You just don't want the truth. That's the problem. So God's going to judge the high ones on high. Go to we already talked about Ephesians 6 a couple times. Skip over that. Go to Jude right before Revelation, please. Jude, the book of Jude. This might wind up taking me longer than I thought. Not tonight. I'll try to let you go tonight. But look at Jude chapter 12. Jude chapter 12.
I heard you snickering. You guys are mischievous. I like it. Jude, verse 12. Yeah, I know, really. That would be Revelation 13. They're the same one. Jude, verse 12. These are the spots in your feasts of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves, look at it, without fear.
No fear, man.
Well, that is kind of like the generation you got coming up now. They're not afraid of repercussions on anything. You know what I thought was hilarious? You kids need to listen to me on this one. I thought it was hilarious that one of the commanders or something from Antifa, they caught him with a military grade smoke grenades and flamethrowers or whatever it was, right? It's the second time he was busted. The first time he got out, when they caught him just the other day, a commander. He was in the fetal position, crying like a baby. You better watch out for people that inspire you kids to do wrong and act like they're the bold, brave, rebellious leader. That little snotty, I'd have spotted him. I'd have taken his head off. If I wanted to be the commander and he was the commander, you're the commander? One look at him and it was, okay. I'm sorry, forgive me. Mike Reagan's spirit, there it goes. I'd have taken his stinking head off. You know, he ain't a commander on nothing. You're a fool if you follow something like that. Yeah, the hireling fleeth because he in hireling, and he seeth the wolf coming. He curls up like a baby in the fetal position and cries. Without fear. Oh, he was afraid of nothing. Get that impudent look on your face. Yeah, you wait till the real thing hits you. You're going to be afraid. You watch these people at the great white throne judgment. They walk around not afraid of God. I ain't afraid of hell. I'll go to hell. There's a party. I'm going to be in hell because I'm partying, man. I'm going to be partying in hell. You're going to be crying like a baby in the fetal position, begging and screaming at the top of your lungs for the mercy of God, and you ain't going to get it because you missed the boat. Now's your chance. Stuff makes me so mad. I can't stand false bravado. I can't stand it. I just can't stand it. I am afraid of God. I'm scared to death. And I'm not embarrassed of it. I'm so afraid of God, I don't care what it does to me or my life or anything around me. If I got to get on God's good side, whatever it takes, I want on his good side. And we'll see who's the bold man when we get on the other side. He says this in verse 12, without fear. You better watch out for people that are like that. Now, feeding them, so clouds there without water, carried about of winds. Trees without fruit. Whose fruit withereth, without fruit. Watch it, twice dead. That's a physical and a spiritual. And he said, they're in your assembly. They're spots in your feast of charity. Plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Don't forget that, because we're going to come back to it as we go through Job and we talk about Leviathan swimming in the deep and all the shallow, mealy-mouthed biblical midgets, the theological dunces with all kinds of letters after their name are going to tell you that's a great whale or that's a crocodile or that's a this or that's the ocean and that's the hogwash, baloney, garbage. You don't know your Bible. Sit down and shut up. Because you're not helping God's people and you're not letting them know. So why does the devil want to blind your eyes so bad as to who he is, what he's doing, and how he's working? So he gets all his ministers in the pulpits professing to be giving you truth and trying to tell you everything you find about the devil ain't the devil, it's something else. You'll remember that when we get to it. It says they're foaming out their shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Isn't it funny we call Hollywood our people our stars? Wandering stars. Ain't it funny the way they do wander from marriage to marriage, relationship to relationship, broken life to broken life, one drug to the next, and die in their 40s if they're doing good. And then the irony of it is you go to Hollywood and you walk down the street and you're walking on the stars. The irony, nobody ever stops and says, if they're so important, why am I standing on them? Why is it so dirty? You know, they show you on TV, Hollywood, and it looks so glamorous and exciting. Don't go. Just stay home and go, ooh, that'd be so great. Someday I want to go there, and then just don't ever go.
Because when you show up and see what an absolute dump it is, how small it really is, everything looks different on TV and the internet and the smartphone. None of that stuff's reality. You know what it is? It's a spirit that's distorting your mind from truth. I'll never forget years ago, I can still see him in my eye. I was sitting on the other side of his desk. My preacher was sitting across from me and books everywhere. And he said this. He said, you know, right now, he is teaching a young kid. I think it was right before we got married. And he was trying to teach a young man something that would help me. And it's helped me a lot. He said, you know, right now, there's all kinds of stuff in this room. I said, what? And he started naming rock and roll and this and that and a bunch of other stuff. And he said, it's right here, right now. It's not affecting you, but it's here. He said, you want it to wreck your life? You want it to affect you? All you got to do is have the right receptor. I think that was before smartphones. All you got to do is have the right receptor, and if you get the right receptor, you can find and tune into anything you really want. So he said, make sure you turn off the receptors to all the wrong things and turn on the receptors to the right things and you'll go somewhere in life and you'll stay out of trouble. You know what the devil's done? He's put right in the hands of our children and right in the hands of every one of us a way for you to have a receptor for so much garbage that the wrong spirit is influencing you. And that spirits have been studying you a long, long, long time, and they're so smart about it, they knew how to come down and act like one of you, and the women had no idea what they're dealing with. That's why, ladies, the Bible tells you, like this or not, your husband's your head. That's your husband, by the way. Your husband. You know, till death do us part, holding God's holy ordinance, and thereto I pledge thee my faithfulness, and your husband. I got four daughters, so just make sure that they understand boyfriends don't have any say-so. And neither do fiancés. Is he beating your chest? No, but I'll beat his. Why does God give you a man to lead you spiritually, gentlemen, to be the spiritual leader in your home? That means having the tough questions and having the tough conversations and leading the right way and just being a man. In a gentle and compassionate way. Because the Bible says the women need power on their heads because of the angels. You know why, if you don't have a godly husband, you should be right where you're at? Sitting under the sound of preaching? Because you're showing God that I'm going to put myself under the right authority, the authority of the Word of God, the authority of the local church, and I'm going to get some help and advice when I need it. And we got it set up in such a way that we don't violate our rules. But we're still here to help you. Why? Power on your head because it's angels. Because you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, because there's a lot of influences. I'm going to stop here. I got more to show you. We'll get it next week. I don't plan on going anywhere, and if you don't, we'll get there. Amen? Why? Because dead things are formed, and I'll finish showing you the rest of that, but I don't want to wear you out, so I am going to let you go. But listen, you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, I don't want to leave you right here, because I don't want you to walk out overly uptight. Did you hear me? I hope you heard what I just said. I don't want you to walk out overly uptight. Oh, what about the devils? What about the... Do you realize you can relax? If you're following the right shepherd, if you're walking with the right spirit, filled with the right spirit, he leadeth me beside the still waters, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his... You're safe. You're safe. You don't have to go to bed wound up, kids. Worried. Nervous. Why? Because you're walking with the Lord, aren't you? The best you know how. I'm not saying you're a spiritual giant. You're probably not. They say the pulpit doesn't rise higher than the pew. If that's true, I'm guaranteeing you, you ain't a spiritual giant, okay? But you're trying, right? Sure. Then you got a great shepherd. talked about it a couple weeks ago. He sleeps across that gate. They got to go right over the Lord Jesus Christ to get to you. Isn't that what happened here? He was so spiritual. God said, have you seen my servant Job? You and I ain't that spiritual yet. So the Lord's going, hey, back off of Reagan. He can't take anymore. Oh, come on, God. We just about got him. Yeah, I know. That's why I said back off. That's all he can handle. I'm developing him. I'm going to let him get stronger. I'm going to keep him safe. I'm going to let him grow because I got somewhere I'm going to take him safely, and you're pushing him a little too far, so back off of Reagan. So I know I got to stay close, folks. I got to draw nigh to Jesus Christ. I got to get so in love with him. I got to read his word. I got to pray. I got to make sure when I get in my car that I put in the right kind of music. Because what spirit's affecting me? You know the power of music, don't you? Not going to chase the rabbit, but I know it. You ain't kidding me, man. You pull up next to me at a gas pump, and you jump out of the car with that thing thumping and bumping and give me that tough guy look, you know, and come around the edge of the car acting like you all, you know. And that music starts making me want to whoop his butt. It's his own music. What are you looking at, man? I can feel that jungle music bumping me up too, man. Why? Because there's a spirit associated with that stuff. It influences you. It affects you. What I'm trying to say is if you got the right kind of music going, if you got the right kind of thoughts going and the right kind of prayer life going, if you got your Bible reading right and you're trying to walk with the Lord, you don't have to worry. But don't forget, as you're going through your day tomorrow, one of three spirits is coming from everybody around you. And one of three spirits is coming from you. Which spirit came from you? A dead spirit that's hurting people around you? Your own spirit that'll get you in some trouble? Or the spirit of God that'll allow you to maybe lead somebody to Jesus Christ tomorrow? That'll allow you maybe to be a bold witness at the right time to the right person? That'll allow you maybe to produce some of the fruits of joy and love and charity and long-suffering and kindness and forgiveness and forgetfulness. That's a good one right there. Just letting it go. Folks, that's the spirit of God. And that's the way to live. Which spirit? Which spirit's in control of your life? Let's pray and we'll pick it up here next week.